Are you ready to step beyond your sexual walls? We're here to talk about anything you want. This is the Sisters of Sexuality show featuring Taylor Sparks and Parrish Michelle Blair. We have so much to talk about today, so let's just get things started. Here are your hosts, Taylor and Parrish.
Welcome to the Sisters of Sexuality radio show. My name is Parrish Michelle Blair, and I usually am side by side with my beautiful co-host, Taylor Sparks. We're a collective group of women who stand in our truth about sexuality and inspire thousands of people all throughout the world. And we're just so excited to bring these sex positive conversations to you through our podcast. Today, we're going to spend some quality time with our very good friend, Michael. Michael connected with us through the synergy that we do with other like-minded people in sexuality, male and female. And a lot of our conversations are focused on things that empower women and the men who love them. And Michael is that. Michelangelo is definitely that. You love women.
You support. Yes, absolutely.
You support, you advise, you strengthen, you entertain, you do it all. And I want to go into your bio real quick and then let you connect with the audience. Michelangelo has been writing songs since elementary school. He studied opera and musical theater, but then you transitioned into heavy metal rock. And I want to know more about that. And I love that you give honor to those who've influenced you. How do I pronounce that? Is it Cheyenne?
Cheyenne, yeah. Yeah, he was Cheyenne. In that movie, that dancing movie with Vanessa Williams. That was Cheyenne.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then it's Shakira and Enrique Iglesias and Paulina Rubio. There's so many people that I feel influences along the way. And I know these people would be very happy to hear that the work that they did and the mission that they had is literally touching lives. So I love that you're paying homage to that. And then you're going into more of where the sex connects with everything more directly. I know music and sex goes together, but
yes.
Your clientele, you said, varies from popular drag and gay artists like Faith Michaels, Power Infinity, and yes. Fedro. Is it Fedro?
Fedro, yeah.
Yeah. And to the cream of the crop from the popular TV show RuPaul's Drag Race. So you've got a lot of a wealth of information and experience under your belt. But I'm a fan of Michelangelo. I follow him on Instagram, and I fell off for about a week when I was traveling. But that I get connected to you because I feel like your life feels like a performance to me. Like the way that you present your life on social media is like a little mini performance. And well, so I get a lot out of that. And, you know, I just love and adore this human being. I got inspired immediately when we spent some quality time together in Miami, to have him on the show. And I wanted to interview you so I could kind of get I'm more of a journey story. Tell me why and how you felt about it. Kind of part of Sisters of Sexuality. So
I'm ready welcome to go on this show. Journey. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for making the time to spend quality time with us.
Thank you for giving me the time. Quick question. So, am I allowed to say bad words?
Only if you pray first. No, this is completely uncensored. Flow. Be natural. Be yourself. Okay, yeah.
Cool. No, because, yeah, it is natural to myself. I just wanted to be sure I wasn't.
Of course. No, thank you for asking, but it's uncensored. We want you to be, you know, to talk about things the way you feel authentically. And wait, one thing I forgot to mention, it says that you're doing something called Heels.
Yes, there was a documentary.
Oh, okay.
I ended up, like, the universe put me on this path of, like, meeting a consecutive line of people in a very short period of time. And I ended up placing a song that I had just written in a documentary. And then because it was about drag queens on mm-hmm. South Beach. So I started getting my other clientele drag queen songs and putting them in the documentary as well. So That was, yeah, it was part of that documentary. There you are. There's your face.
Okay. Sorry, that was that. I knew your bio was like packed with good stuff, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to remember all these details, so I need to be looking at it. But
I love you. I'm so glad I can see your beautiful face. Hi, human.
Hi.
I love you.
I love you too. I can feel your hug right now. So, for the audience that's listening in, we're looking at each other through our app, and so I'm vibing with him. And I want to get into, like, what is this it thing? I know you know you. So, what is that it thing you think it is inside of you that makes everybody feel you this way? If you had to put your finger on it, like, you know what your mojo is?
My mojo is my connectedness to the universe. Uh-huh. I have placed myself in it and realized that how massive it is and how teeny weeny it is and how it just kind of runs on its own. Mm-hmm. So when you do that, you kind of want to share that joy with everyone. You want to let everybody know that on the bigger picture and the tiny picture, everything's going to be okay. So I approach that with comedy and sex.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you're not preachy about it, and you're not, what is it that people say? It's so cliche. You're not like that about it. You do... It's like I feel like you're like a good reflection of me, because I'm the same thing. I want to talk about it from, if we're going to talk about sex, I want to be happy about it. You know, I don't really like talking about the issues, even though issues need to be addressed. I want to talk about the solutions. So, you know,
amen.
And the solutions to me begin with how you want to feel at the end. Good, you know, happy, satisfied, you know. So I like that I see that in your content on social media. So your connectedness to the universe, how did you get there? Did you come out of the womb like that and you stayed like that? How did it happen?
I was always the hippie. Like, I was always like a peace, love child. Mm-hmm. But when I was 18 and a half, I got really sick from Crohn's. Mm-hmm. And almost died. Like, I got so sick so fast that I almost died. So there was a moment where I broke down and I kind of went outside and looked at the sky. And I went beyond religion and I went beyond earthbound things. And I was just like, whatever the fuck is out there, I need help. From anywhere, like, I just need help right now. And apparently, because I did that, I opened myself up to a year and a half of full trans channeling for like 9 hours a day, just speaking. And my friend was writing it down. And then it ended up being like 3,000 pages of stuff I never studied. I never studied astronomy. I never studied religion. I never studied any of that stuff. So when I would come out of this trance and my friend was printing these like 40, 50 pages, I would read it and just cry and be like, I am just so blessed can't believe that this came out of me.
So there are people that are listening right now that don't know what the heck we're talking about. So when you say you put a strong request out into the universe, and then somehow doing that caused a ripple effect inside of you, and now you're an open channel, what is channeling? What does it feel like? How do you know it's happening? Is it safe? Can anybody do it?
Yeah, well, everybody's connected. Basically, our brains don't run at full potential. They run at, let's say, 10%. For crap's sake, let's say 10%. Most of it is dormant. So when you apparently opening myself up that way, my brain kind of wandered into like 11, 12%. Uh-huh. And you remember yourself back into the universe. And all that knowledge is sitting in everybody's brain. And of course it's safe. Some people are open. Some people call it being psychic. Some people call it intuition. Some people call it a gut feeling. But that voice is talking to you all the time. People ignore it in relationships and in work, and you hear the voice, because, you know, the heart is emotional, the brain can be irrational, but your gut is never wrong. That voice is there. Your gut,
something told me to call you, or something told me you were going to be here.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I had a feeling that's the universe. It's, you're sitting in it. You can't get out of it. It's a part of you. Just like your liver and your pancreas right now are doing whatever they want. Like, we don't have to consciously think about that. That's omniscience. That's God. That's the universe. So when you allow yourself to when you place yourself in the universe and you kind of look outside and you're like, damn, you know, I appreciate the fact that you have all of this running and that my body runs on its own. And, you know, thank you. It really does something to your brain. It does something to your brain, and it kind of catapults you. And it's like getting a woman pregnant. Like, once the egg is spawned, it just keeps developing and developing and developing. So the more you wander into 10.5-11% brain capacity, you can't help but go to 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. Because you see the universe in a different way.
So you're following this inner guidance, you're channeling these things. I know in my experience that I had very similar, you know, like a different health issue, but that kissing death and coming back.
But it's funny that we had that in common.
I know. It changed me. It changed me so much that the man that I was married to, who I loved, that was a good husband, a good lover, a good everything, he was like, I can't stand your ass. You're this spooky pussy witch lady. Stop doing these things. Why are you always, you know, masturbating and looking out in the stars and, you know, just be normal again? And I'm like, this was always my normal. Now I don't care. I just want to be like this. And he always knew I was kind of a woo lady. But when I got on my journey and I decided sexuality is what feels like my art that I want to share with the world. It feels like the money or the abundance, like everything's coming from sex for some reason. There's nobody that I could convince that God's telling me to go on Facebook and talk about rubbing on my pussy and thinking about blessings. Everybody was like, okay, you go ahead with that, you know? But it's like, if it's inside the box and you say, God told me to go help all those orphans and make them shoes, people can accept that. But if it's like, God told me to lighten the load that people carry all day because their junk isn't getting satisfied, it's like, what? Why would God tell you to do that? So,
right. I want to read porn to the blind. Do something for the community.
You're a saint.
Thank you,
Angelo.
I try.
So, okay. So you get what I'm saying. I'm saying our minds are conditioned to not think of sex as a way to connect our human family, even though that's how we get here. And so
but it's a religious experience. How many times do you yell, oh God, during sex?
I know.
When I channeled, they said, when you are orgasming, because the man is creating sperm, which is the possible creation of a life, that is the universe expanding. So when you orgasm and you're producing sperm, you are on and I'm not talking about like tantric mental connection to the universe. That's a whole
thing. I understand.
But on a physical red chakra crotch area, an orgasm is as close as you can feel as what the universe is experiencing at all times, all the time, because you are creating sperm. You are possibly creating a life. The universe on a nanosecond level is constantly creating. That's all it's doing. So every time you orgasm, you are as close as to what it physically feels to be God.
Man, the only thing I'm telling you, I can tell my vagina doesn't discriminate, because when I feel like, oh my God, you're telling my truth, or this is my song, or I'm so happy, or this food tastes so good, my vagina gets so wet, and my vagina's like, yes, Michael, talk that talk. That's so sexy, you're saying that.
I love making pussy wet.
I know, but it makes me so happy. It's like, that's so true. I mean, my truth. I don't want to say what other people should believe, but that literally is my truth.
No,
and we haven't always known each other.
On a physiological level, you are producing sperm. The feeling of producing sperm is fucking amazing. That's the universe. Mm-hmm. It's not even like an opinion. It's on a physical level, you are producing a possible life. And if you see it on a space level, we have like 300 comets flying by us all the time. So if you think of the Earth like a woman's egg sitting there in this darkness, mm-hmm. in your like space, and they, like what hit the dinosaurs, a comet hit the planet. Planets, they know that they have to crash into this planet. It's sperm going down a woman's womb. We know we have to crash into it. It's space rocks. Like if you just, it's all the same thing. We are sitting in the womb of something else. It is exponentially big, and the cells in your body experience you how we experience the universe. We're this huge thing that just kind of runs on its own. And like I said, like your heart beats without thinking about it. That's the universe.
So where these beings that are organic and they're running on their own and they're mirroring the universe, the universe is echoing us and all this stuff, where do you jacking off and telling dirty stories and singing songs from on stage go into that?
It's just energy. I feel like it's all just energy. And sex is a part of it, because it's the creation. It's the creation God part, because God is constant. When I say God, I mean the universe. I'm not talking about religion.
Of course, I know.
Right. So everyone understands that wherever I say God, I mean the universe. But when quote unquote God is constantly, constantly, constantly creating on the grass outside, trees converting oxygen into carbon dioxide and carbon, and like we're just part of like the lung of the planet. It's so big exponentially, and then music it's a universal language. I think music is just amazing because you can hear a song in another language where you don't understand the lyrics and it can make you cry. Mm-hmm. So it goes beyond everything.
Okay, so that was the sex, that was the music. And what about this performing and entertaining? If we're all one and we're one being and representing each other, why entertain yourself that way?
Well, one thing I've always thought, imagine if money wasn't an issue for anybody, if money just wasn't an issue, how many more people would be out performing and showing their art and sharing themselves in a different way, sharing their passion, because they don't have to be stuck in an office 9-10 hours, you know, including traffic, where you have to do something like that to make the money. You know, to most people, life is the bulk of it is work. Mm-hmm. But imagine if money wasn't an issue and you could, I don't know, if you're a painter, you're a sculptor, you're like I'm sure that there's like Michelangelo, there's like Renaissance sculptors, all that is still going around mm-hmm. within us. But because we are kind of stifled and unfortunately, we live in a country where music and art aren't, as far as like schooling, aren't really appreciated. Like the first thing that gets defunded are the art programs
and of course. The
music program. Like that's the first thing to go because it's the least important. But like in China, music is a really big part of their, you know, and teachers and doctors get paid the same. It's a whole other mentality. Yeah, mm-hmm. Here it's not appreciated.
Fortunately, that's what trains are for and planes are for, to help us get out of the box and see there are people living how they really want to live. And that looks different for every person. So it's not like, tune in to Parrish and Michael and start, you know, doing what they do. It's like, tune in to people who decided, you know what, fuck it. Let me just live the way I want to live. And that looks different in everybody's life, you know. So I'm asking you those questions because I have people ask me those questions all the time. Like, all the things that you could do. I mean, you said you're an artist. Why not paint pictures? Like, why this? And I'm like, it's like,
why not?
It's a vibration. It's like, that's what I'm feeling is my truth, you know? I feel like I'm painting and I feel like I'm singing. And even though I'm not, it feels like that.
Whatever the tactics are, making other people feel comfortable with themselves mm-hmm. and empowering other human beings, men, women, gay, straight, Republican, Democrat, whatever the case is, it's just getting rid of all of that and just empowering other humans, whether it's singing, whether it's painting, whether it's talking about sex, making them feel comfortable in bed, whatever the case is. To my point is to always elevate the human consciousness of anyone that I come into contact with, even if it's just a fucking hug. Mm-hmm. It means that you're important. Come here, give me a hug. Closeness, yes. And I spend my day, I get up on breaks every 20 minutes and go and fucking hug everybody.
That's awesome.
And ask them how their day was. Hey, how you doing? You having a bad day? Hug. Boom. And I leave everybody with a fucking smile, no matter what day they're having. Even that is not a painting. It's not a song. There's no microphone involved. It is as simple as a fucking hug. Nice. And that's beautiful. Human contact.
Okay, speaking of human contact, what elements have to be there to go from a simple fucking hug to I'm going to fuck you in the bathroom? Like
I love those stories. to me, it's, I don't know. To me, it has a lot to do with eye contact. I walked into a karaoke bar. I saw the guy singing. I didn't know if he was gay or straight. I walked in, he and I made eye contact. He kept singing. And I told my friend, I'm going to fuck that guy in the bathroom. And that's exactly what fucking happened. It was just like I knew. To me, here's the thing, though. I'm gay. I identify as a homosexual because I am attracted to men. Mm-hmm. But there have been times with certain women that there has been an energy chemistry thing. It went beyond the fact that you have a vagina and you have tits and you're a girl. And it was just – there was like a round between us. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot during the time when I spent like a year swing dancing, when swing dancing was it. In like 1999, I spent every weekend swing dancing. So the fact that I'm a good lead, like I know how to hold a girl and, you know, like I'm good mm-hmm. there were moments of
I know how to hold a gal.
Yeah, my dick was like, hey, what's up?
That's beautiful. That's awesome. Well, I like that approach because I think I'm one of those people who used to overthink it. Like I would overthink my own pleasure I would overthink myself out of my own pleasure so often. And people thought I was a hot pants back then, but I'm like, I'm not even scratching the surface because is it good? And will I be, am I a good wife or am I a good mom? And is that what God want me to do? And when I had that death experience, all the things I wanted to do, they were harmless, but I was conditioned to think, how dare a woman, you know, have these kind of thoughts or do these kind of things? And so when I finally decided, you know, I'm going to still be that woman no matter what, it felt like the whole world opened up and all the resistance that I used to be terrified that I would feel wasn't even there. It was people like you, left and right. Like the people that didn't want to fuck with me didn't even vibrate there. That's, I mean, maybe a little bit. They came up to meet me, to judge me a little bit because that was some of my own judgment leaving. But then after I ignored the judgment and sent it love and light, I was, and I still am living in bliss, you know, and I was just like to plug the audience into people who are making that leap in their life so they can listen to how it sounds like on different people. You know, like you might want to buy a jacket, but you're like, I wish I could see it with this shirt. And I wish I could see it with that. You know, they get a chance to see what freedom looks like.
I recently bought my favorite sweater. I would just like to say at Cracker Barrel. And the woman, the woman was an older white woman that I bought, and it was on the, and the jacket was on the women's rack. And I just fell in love with the fucking jacket. I don't give a fuck. So I tried it and I'm like, oh my God, I love this furry. It's like, I love this jacket. And she's like, well, honey, I just want you to know that's a woman's jacket. And I was like, well, in the bylaws of homosexuality, which I'm a part of, I'm allowed to buy this jacket.
It totally works. Yes.
And she just looked at me like she was shocked that I was that open. I'm gay. I can totally buy this jacket. So yeah. That has nothing to do with it. I've been attracted to certain women. Then it's just a chemistry thing. It's beyond. It's like I'm seeing your soul, and your soul is hot.
Mm-hmm. I get it. So I want to talk more about what your opinion is of where the whole conversation is about this empowerment of feminine energy, you know, and Sisters of Sexuality, we talk more to feminine energy that identifies as a woman, but you have feminine energy and that balance in a masculine form. So I'm just curious to know, like, what's your opinion about these conversations and the Me Too movement and feminism and, you know, what women are speaking out on about sexuality. What do you think about it as a homosexual man?
Well, first of all, as a homosexual male, I have to say that women, hashtag the clitorically inclined, were my best fucking friends. They would always defend me, and I was never really friends with boys because I was gay. I came out at 16. So, you know, I was like, I'm out. Oh, you're going to keep asking me? The answer now is yes. I'm out. So women to me were always it. Like, I just adore women and everything that they fucking represent. I love you guys. First of all, I came out of a vagina, so thanks. And anyone that doesn't respect women, you know, there's a 99% chance that you came out of a vagina. So place yourself and respect that. But again, it goes back to we're a very young country in comparison to the world. And, you know, where the Egyptians and the Greeks and, the Romans, they had like goddesses, you know, that the goddess energy was respected. Mm-hmm. And they had temples and they had, you know, their sacrifices and they had, you know, they were all in their shit. Christianity doesn't really give women, and, you know, it's all the patriarchy. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like, there's no women involved. Mm-hmm. So to even think.
There's Jezebel.
You know, I loved her. She was cool people. She could roll a joint. We live in a country that is, one, very sexually repressed. Like, a woman is breastfeeding in public and it's like a huge ordeal. You know, like, it's like, come on, man. Like, really? So our religion and our country really don't have a whole lot of respect. Like, this whole thing is, I don't know what state it is. Sorry, my ignorance, but there's a state right now where they are, if there's an, is it ectopic pregnancy? Ectopic pregnancy. They want to make it a law where they have to take it out and put it where it's supposed to go and force you to have the kid. It's like, no, like, why? I don't understand the if you don't have a vagina, don't fucking make laws for people that have a vagina. Like, no.
So on that note, what we're going to do is take a break and come back and talk about, you know, lots of other crazy notions people have about women's vaginas and what they have a right to and what they don't. And I'm so happy you're going to share your perspective being gay and seeing women from your perspective and this whole these issues that we deal with. You're listening to the Sisters of Sexuality radio show. You are a part of our success. We're over 100,000 downloads. Thank you so much for supporting
us. Yes, queen.
All throughout the year. You're going to hear from some of our sponsors who support our positive content on the other side of this break. And again, I'm Parrish Michelle Blair, and we'll be right back.
Organic Lovin', for the bodies you love to love. How do people describe you? Are you curious, playful, maybe sensual, adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic Lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toys, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adult-only vacations. Receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you, for the bodies you love to love. Visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin', that's LOVEN.com.
You were listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, call us at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792, or send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back. My name is Parrish Michelle Blair. I am the co-host alongside Taylor Sparks, and we host this show on a regular basis to bring you sex-positive information to help the quality of your sex life, the quality of your communication about sex, and just, you know, moving in the direction of what makes you feel empowered in that area of your life. Our guest this week is Michelangelo. We've been talking about so many things about his journey, and I wanted to hear from his perspective what he thinks about what women are going through from a gay man's perspective. So we're going to pick up on all of that. But first, I want to give a word to our wonderful sponsor, AdamandEve.com. I visited their website before the show just to see what's going on because I want to see what the new arrivals are. That's my favorite part of the website. They are a major brand in getting quality, safe products out to people who want toys, lubes, lingerie. If it's sexy, they got it. So I looked at their new arrival page, and their bestseller is the 2-in-1 Stroker Realistic Vagina and Ass. That I've always wanted to see my lover use. I'm like, why don't they want to use it? I don't know. Some people call it pocket pussies and things like that. I think that that's the sexiest thing ever. So I might pick that up because it's a really good price on their new arrival page. Then this is also the year-end clearance, starting at $9.95. So they've got so many great things on their website. So I want you to check it out. And when you do, and you go to shop, you can use our special offer code. So this is the thing. You go to the website, you pick up things that you think might spice up your bedroom or spice up whatever you want to in your sex life. And then almost anything that you choose on the site off of Adam and Eve, that's 50% off, you end up getting free stuff. So when you enter in the SOS offer code, you check out and you get 10 tantalizing free gifts. You know, a sexy item for him, a sexy item for her, a sexy item for you both, and then 6 other special spicy items, and you get free shipping. So all you have to do is use the SOS promo code at adamandeve.com. All right. I want to go back into this, Michael. What do you have to say about what women are even dealing with about their issues with, you know, having to put up with fuckboys or men not appreciating that, like, you hear what we talk about. Tell me what you're really thinking from a gay man's perspective. What are you thinking about the heterosexual woman's plight or the sexually open woman's plight that leans towards, you know, adoring men? What would you have to say to us from a perspective that you have?
Well, put your face back on. I want to see you.
Oh, okay.
Bring your face back to me.
I'm here.
I have to go shopping on adamandeve.com later.
I know. Did you see? They got good stuff.
Yes, they do.
Okay. So what would you say to us?
Well, like I was saying before, it's a very young country, and the I don't know, the religion basis of the country, none of them really, based on, you know, Christianity, are very high thinking of women. Mm-hmm. But like I was saying before, there was goddesses, there was, you know, there was the female energy was very, very enamored and respected and honored, you know, and all sorts of other religions. But unfortunately, like in France, there's, you know, nude beaches and, you know, topless beaches, and it is what it is. But here, a woman's breastfeeding, and it's a huge fucking problem in a park. It's like, it's a very repressed society in general. But from a gay man's perspective, like I was saying, women were always my friends. Women, I just adore women. And there are many times that I could wish I would be, you know, full bisexual, because a woman in lingerie, stunning. You guys are just fucking stunning, and you're so sexual, and I love the maternal, whether you're a mother or not, but the maternal nurturing energy of women is very different than a man. And I'm very lucky, I feel, as a gay man who was raised by my mom pretty much, that I have that nurturing, caring, I'm totally connected with my feminine side. Like, I love to cry. Like, I, you know, men don't cry. Fuck you. You should cry, because crying is very therapeutic. If anyone's listening,
crying makes your dick grow.
If anybody's listening, if you feel stressed out, think of this. This is my comparison. Imagine you are a can of Coke, and as you are stressed out during the day and with your complications in life, because life can suck, you are shaking that can, and you're shaking that can, and you're shaking that can, and that pressure is building up. So when you cry, there's moments, you'll know when it happens. Like, if you're watching a Hallmark commercial and you start to get tears, it is time to go and cry. So every 2 weeks, I have a playlist called A Good Cry. And I lost my mom to cancer 15 years ago. She was 49. And I have like 10 songs that remind me of my mom. And every 2 weeks, I lock myself in the room for a half hour, and I give myself a gut-wrenching fucking cry. And you know, you always feel better after a cry. Oh, fact, yeah. Positive, you feel better after a cry. So if you do that and you deal with your feelings on your own terms, they don't creep up on you. So every 2 weeks, give yourself a half hour of songs that make you cry. And I guarantee you that you will have released the pressure from that Coke can, and you're ready to deal with the bullshit that's coming in the next few days.
Well, I know I had a release, because I'm trying to fight these thoughts. I don't want to think this way. I don't prepare for what I don't want. I only prepare for what I do want. So I just got to change my languaging. But I got, you know, in touch with my mortality when I, you know, went through that death experience. And so now I'm like, wow, that was 10 years ago. Now, that happened right before I turned 40. Now this is the year before I turned 50, and my son's still so young, and he's 15, and my other kids are older. And I'm thinking those, you know, I want my kids to be okay when I'm not on the planet anymore thoughts. But I'm like, girl, you're good. You know, nothing's wrong with you. Don't be thinking like that. But I'm like,
bitch, first of all, I thought you were in your 30s. So
I'm going to be 49 in January. Thank you.
Fuck yes, you're gorgeous.
Thank you. So, but when I went to your, I was getting into this, like, okay, he's going to be my morning cup of coffee. Like, that's when I first wake up, brush my teeth, I get back in bed, put the covers on, then I go look at your stuff on Instagram. And when you shared that thing about your mom and the Christmas magic, I was like, oh my God, I can't breathe. My nose was stuffy for half the day from crying. I was like, that's so what I'm feeling. I know what his mother's feeling. And he put so much peace inside of her, because that's all she needed to see, is like all that magic that she went all out every Christmas to make you believe in Santa Claus and all that. Whether you know, believed it as long as possible, or you found out it was a little fib, it was still in you. And that's what she got to see right before she transitioned to spirit. She got to see her magic in you. Oh, it's going to make me cry right now. Oh, my God. Oh,
It was hard. Those first three Christmases were hard because it was just a constant reminder of my mom. Like everywhere I looked, it reminded me that my mom would love that. Until I heard my mom's voice, like after the fourth year, like, get the fuck over it. I'm good. I'm good. You are totally allowed as a human being to continue to enjoy Christmas. And I heard her clear as fuck. And I was like, wow. You know what? You're absolutely right. And I'm going to decorate the fuck out of the house just in your name right now.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, I love the fact that you're okay with that. I recently had a relative tell one of the younger kids in the family, like, stop crying. Men don't cry. That's what women do. Oh, my God. That was like a big family disagreement. It's like,
wrong.
Do not tell him that. That's like so 1950s, 1960s, 70s. It's like barbaric. Don't say that.
Plus, crying is like peeing and shitting.
Right.
There's stuff that has to come out.
And then when that's like someone telling you man's going to think something's wrong with him.
That's like half turd. Someone telling you don't shit. Shitting is. Oh, no. This turd has to come out. I'm sorry. Crying is the same way. So if you purge your feelings on purpose and get it all out, because we build it. We build it all day. It builds up. Whether you're at work, the kids, people have. I can't imagine having a child. I couldn't imagine having a child just for the simple fact that I can't imagine going to work an entire day and then coming home to cook dinner and clean and homework. And I respect parents so much for the fact that they can do that. And I super even more respect single mothers that do that, that play both parents. My mother played both parents for me. My parents got divorced when I was 3 and my dad was just non-existent financially, emotionally. He just was not around. So I so respect parents in general, both or single parents that can go throughout their day, deal with the obnoxious boss, the traffic, blah, blah, and then come home and have to do so much more and still raise kick ass fucking kids.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm one of those people.
Yes, your kids.
I am something.
Kids across the world they're an extension of you.
Right.
So by me continuing to love Christmas, I am an extension of my mother's love for Christmas. So when you look at your kids, your kids make good decisions and they're nice to people and kind. That is a reflection of you and you fucking kick ass.
Well, that's true. All you parents out there receive that. And even if you're not the parents that gave birth, you're the aunt that had to raise your niece's nephew, or you're the neighbor that's helping the woman next door, whatever, you're doing something big. It might not feel like it's big, but it's huge. It's big. And this is someone who has the luxury to sit on the outside and look at what we do. We think it's, are we fucking up? Are these kids even, is this even worth it? But he's letting us know, no, you're doing an amazing job. So thank you for giving us that. So I wanted to touch on something. As a homosexual man, young man growing up, if you were emotional, people could easily go, oh, it's because he's gay. But that's, like you said, that's a human thing. So have you, as a gay man, ever gotten frustrated with the idea that people automatically put you in a box because you're homosexual?
Yes.
And so how do you manage that? And how do you empower yourself through that and still love people?
Well, first off, my mom had like a nervous breakdown. When I came out of the closet, my mom had like a major nervous breakdown. I was 16 in Catholic school and I just came out like, enough. It's not a secret anymore. So my grandfather was a Cuban man from the old Cuban generation, where everything was, men don't cry and that's gay. And why are you wearing? And even then, I was never one to dress like a woman, but I was obviously a homosexual. Not that every homosexual, but I'm not pigeonholing anybody, but I loved musical theater. I loved dance. I loved any painting. Like I loved anything that was creative. And unfortunately, if that might get labeled as gay, but like I was telling you before, that if people were allowed and paid for their passion, I'm sure that there would be a lot of straight men that are, painters and like singing and like dancing and like, because it's what's in your DNA. We're a photocopy of our parents and they're like, I love interior design. Like my mother loved it. Like, so it's nature and nurture. It comes in your DNA and it's what you're kind of, raised around. But my grandfather, who I thought was going to take it the worst of me coming out of the closet, like I thought he was going to be, he was such a machista, like he was such a macho, typical old Cuban man. So I came out of the closet. My mom had a nervous breakdown. My father and his side of the family had a nervous breakdown. My mother's whole side of the family was like, you didn't know he was gay? Are you serious? Like, he came out of your twat. Are you fucking kidding me? You didn't know? Of course you knew he was gay. So my grandfather, when I come out, grabs me and like takes me to the other side of the house. I want to talk to you. I'm like, oh, this is it. Here we go. This is going to be the talk. So he sits me down. He was always kind of sour. He always had like a sour demeanor. He sits me down in front of him. He's like, so I hear you're gay. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gay. I'm out of the closet. I've noticed since I was little. He's like, first thing you need to do is put a bat up your ass. I'm like, what? What? He's like, yeah, put a bat up your ass, a really big fat bat up your ass. So if you decide to get fucked, the dick won't be a big deal. That was my grandfather's speech on me coming. And it was never talked about again. Like, that was it. He was like, we're good. Whatever. But then I found out that like my grandmother and my grandfather had like swinging parties in Cuba when Cuba was in its heyday.
Isn't that so yes. interesting?
Yes.
So your grandfather, grandmother,
I'm a horny son of a bitch. And apparently yeah. they were too. And yeah. I just love that. I just love that.
Yeah.
So,
but it's so sad that in that day and age, well, people are doing the same thing here, but they can't fully express it and they have to disguise it with judgment when really the people that judge the most to me, I've learned, even when I don't, I'm like, no, not them. No, they just don't want me. But it's 100%. I've seen everyone that's being so judgmental about what someone else shouldn't do. They either used to do it, are doing it, or they really, really want to. And it bothers them and they can't even control it when they see somebody else doing it.
Yes. Like if you're homophobic, there's a really good chance that you're a homosexual. Mm-hmm. Because all my friends that are straight don't care.
They're
like,
right.
Oh, whatever. But if you're like, oh, because what's the problem? When I came out of the closet in Catholic school, I would always get out of things. I got threatened with getting beat up all the time, like daily. Nobody ever did. But they'd be like, oh, because you're gay and you like fuck men and blah, blah, blah. Like, what? You think about me fucking men more than I do, man. What? Every time I see you, you're talking about me fucking men. Why are you thinking about it so much?
Right.
Oh, and everyone would just walk away like, oh, just embarrassed. But can I tell you one thing about...
Yes, tell me lots of things.
In each other's business. When I channeled, they said the fall of the human race where things kind of started to go wrong was agriculture. Think about an animal in the wild. An animal in the wild, its entire day is consumed with hunting food, finding suitable shelter in case of the weather, mm-hmm. and every once in a while getting laid and procreating, whatever, once, twice a year when their heat mm-hmm. comes around. So humans at one point were like that. They were nomadic. We would like move away from the cold and we would travel in groups, and we had our thing going on. But our entire day was consumed with hunting for food, finding shelter and, moving around and, every once in a while getting laid. But when agriculture happened, suddenly we had all this time now during the day to think about things and where we came from. And that's where religions really started to have a birth, because suddenly people had all this time to fucking think about the stars and the planets and when lightning and all the gods are mad and they come up with all this stuff. So imagine if humans suddenly had to hunt their own food, it wouldn't matter who's gay, who's straight, who's wearing. It's like, I got to go chase a fucking rhino. I got to go get food. So we're good. We're good. So agriculture, the fact that agriculture gave humans all this extra time, we had all this extra time to come up with bullshit, which has basically gotten us to where we are today. But some people have stayed connected with the universe and stayed connected with the source. Mm-hmm. And you can see beyond that. You can kind of pop your head above the human cloud. And then you see other people that have popped their head out. And that's how we attract each other, like you and me. That's how, and Taylor, that's how we kind of find each other, because we're on that same wave. There's very low frequencies and there's high frequencies. And you kind of match the people that are on that.
So just in case there are people who aren't that in tune with their vibration and frequency and connecting with, goddess and like-minded people that way, tell them where they can find you on social media. Just in case they can't vibe to find you.
You can find me.
Your website.
The official gay guy on Instagram and on and Facebook and Twitter, the official gay guy. And people have asked me, why are you the official gay guy? I'm like, because I came up with it first and it's official.
That's awesome.
That's why.
Okay. And while there's time left, I want to hear more about your stuff. Your shit, what you doing? I see you're working with drag queens and high-end clients and you're a performer and all of that. Like, where can people be entertained by you? Are you doing classes, lectures? Like, what's going on? How can people spend time?
Well, I plan on doing classes and lectures soon.
Okay, wonderful.
Here's hoping. And I have a band called Metro Sound Miami. You can also find us on Facebook. And we perform around and we do like all sorts of mashups of music. The band never knows what I'm going to sing because I'll just start singing other songs.
And that's at Metro Source Miami?
Metro Sound Miami.
Metro Sound Miami.
Yes.
On Facebook. Okay.
I'm just constantly writing songs. So when I write a song that I find fits a certain person, I will find a way through other people to get that song to them. That's how I ended up working with the drag queens. I had one song and I had one friend that knew him. And I was like, you know what? Send this person this song. Mm-hmm. And she wrote me back and she's like, I love the fucking song. I want to do it. And I was in shock. I was like, yes. Okay. Let's fucking do it. So since I had that connection, I wrote four other songs for four other drag queens so she could get it to them. Mm-hmm. And she ended up keeping the four songs.
Oh, and wow.
An album. Yeah. I was like, she's like, I want that one too. I want that one too. I'm like, I'm just so blessed that you.
So just to be clear, you create with them. You create content, music, like what do
music,
you do?
Yeah. It was singles and albums.
You produce everything yourself?
When I first started music, I thought it was very daunting. Like, you know, have to produce it. So then I realized, like, no, you get a budget and you hire people that know what to do in their area and you send them their shit. But it's basically like I would write like a song about being sexy. I wrote the song called This Body. And then I found the drag queen that was all about, you know, the body and the curves and whatever and placed a song with her. Like, it was just, and most of the time I don't write songs based on a story or based, it's usually just like one line, like that's a good line for a song. And then I kind of build the song around that. Mm-hmm. But I have had some songs like my breakup, my 5-year breakup yielded a song. My mother's death has yielded like three songs. So it's another way of like crying. It's like, it's a birthing process. And when you're done, that song is now your baby. Like you worked on it and you nurtured it and there's your song.
I love it. So is it that you have to choose do you need a muse or like, what is it that gets that music out of you?
Just between you, me and everybody that's listening, weed is my muse.
Oh, really?
Yes. I like, I don't smoke a lot now because my job is very tedious, so I can't like smoke for work. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I sit and smoke in my studio, the ideas just flow. What I feel the cannabis does is imagine if your brain is a snow globe with all the snow sitting at the bottom, all the ideas are just sitting there. But when you smoke, I feel like you shake it and they all swirl around. You can just kind of see them and hear them like, oh, that's nice. That's
a good one. Oh, I can visualize that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think people need to shake their fucking snow globes every once in a while.
Well, I'm all about manifesting what we want instead of people like, let's hope, let's see. And we'll see how 2020 goes. I'm like, no, it's already happening every day the way I want it because I'm doing it every day. And so if looking at your social media, to me, it is about to blow up. You know, you're blowing up, but it's about to blow up externally. Like your ripple that you're putting out into the world is going to, you know, grow exponentially with the intentions that you have for the new year and everything, or just now, let alone the new year. Amen. So I'm like, how do you want people to see you on social media, or how do you want to see you on social media?
I just want you to come, laugh, listen to music, and feel better about yourself in any way that can happen, whether it's through sex or comedy or music. I just want you to leave feeling better than when you got there. That's it.
Okay. And what about OnlyFans? What do you see? Where
okay,
do you see
my okay, my OnlyFans has my porn content because I tend to be very verbal and aggressive, and there's guys that really like that. So I make little custom videos for them depending on what they want to hear, what they want to see. So yes, I have a porn OnlyFans, which is also the official gay guy. If you want to go look at my dick,
nice.
And I tell dirty stories. Like I do. Like
they're
like
so sexy. His stories are so sexy. I'm like, man, I got to get to work. I can't be fucking around with you, man. get me caught up with all these stories.
But it's good because it's not just about sex. It's
I know.
It's mental. And you can picture it however you want.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
Are you proud of it?
Fuck yeah. I'm very proud of my sex drive and very proud of the fact that I like sex with strangers. I like sex with whoever it's going to feel good with. That's and it's beautiful. Again, it's about energy. To me, it's all about energy, male or female. You can be attracted to a person of the same sex and not necessarily be gay, because it's just, it's an energy. Like, my soul finds your soul hot.
Right.
That's beautiful.
So this has been a beautiful experience. I know it was going to be good, but this is nice. We got a chance to talk about so much. I really, really appreciate you giving a backdrop of who you are and why you are the way that you are. I definitely appreciate you pouring into the sisters and letting us remember you are goddesses. Who cares if this little country hasn't figured it out yet? Know who you are beyond this and claim that, own it. And you talk to the men about being expansive and what you think about your orgasmic energy. You're a part of oneness. All of that I thought was so great. So we're going to be sharing this all over the place, and we thank you all for listening. Please share, like, subscribe, continue to support the Sisters of Sexuality going into 2020, because we are looking for you to give you more of this great content that you want. So you can always email us at sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Make sure you continue to support our great sponsors, adamandeve.com and Organic Leaven. Organic Leaven is the supporter of my Parish Flair Love Affair Tour and so much of what Sisters of Sexuality is able to accomplish internationally. So again, we thank you so much, Michael. This has been wonderful.
I love you. Ladies, enjoy yourselves. Life is short. You guys are goddesses, each and every fucking one of you, and I love you.
Okay, what about the fuck boys? If we don't want them, pass them on?
Yeah, bring them to me.
All right, you're listening to the Sisters of Sexuality. I'm Parish Michelle Blair. I miss my sister, Taylor Sparks. She's the other side of this great duo.
And where the hell is she? I love her.
She's doing her thing. But we'll be back again next week to share another sexy journey with you. Thank you for listening to Sisters of Sexuality radio show. I'm sending you love and light.
Thank you for tuning in to Sisters of Sexuality. Please join Taylor Sparks and Parish Michelle Blair again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel or on demand 24/7. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at sistersofsexuality.com for all the latest information on our appearances and events.